Well, good evening. Sure is good to be back with this wonderful family here. As is, I'm sure, with any of you, as you travel and you get to see other congregations, you always just really appreciate your family here at home. We thank you for your prayers as we've traveled. I'm also just excited to hear the good news while we were gone that Alyssa Clegg and Alice both decided to become children of God and were baptized in the past 2 weeks. And that is just exciting to hear that as we've been, even over in Montana, to hear that back here was exciting news to us. And also that Jacob and Vicki Miller, who've been attending here a while, that Vicki met and placed membership on Sunday. So we're glad to have Jacob and Vicki also here. Again, good to see so many here. Also visitors that are with us, and hope you'll decide to return and we'll get a chance to talk to you. As mentioned, we were traveling. We were in Denver on Sunday and went to the Holly Street Church of Christ there. And they have a lot of good things going. They talked about they have a radio program that they do during the week, and where they, for 30 minutes a day, one of the programs, they take answers and questions. And then they record those classes. It's on a certain topic, but then they field questions with it. And it's also gotten them to actually in some interchanges with some of the other local denominations and churches there, and they recently had a series on social drinking, and so they had part one was last week, and part two was actually recorded and played today on the radio station. So, you know, if you're looking for other topics, some good topics that are both current as well as some studies of the different religions and other things, they have those topics on their website, and I'd put that here. What's interesting, the preacher there who does the radio program and who gave the sermon on Sunday as their preacher is Chris Peltz. And the Dodson family, very familiar. He's a son-in-law of Richard Dodson up in Kearney. So he sends his greetings and was just did a great job. And on top of that, you can think of preaching at any congregation, doing a radio program. Chris does it completely blind. He's blind. And to see him come in with his seeing eye dog, and then to come up with his cane, go up, run the computer, do the overhead without any problems, and then to be fielding questions, to give a sermon completely from memorization, to include all the scriptures, just extremely impressive. Really just made me feel like, yeah, I've got the great access of eyes and as well as my notes. He's able to do all that and overcome that and be a great servant of the Lord. So it was very inspiring just to be there. And the lesson he shared on Sunday, it was very good. So I just thought for this evening, I'd go ahead and reshare that lesson because it did have some very good thoughts to it. You know, as you think about, many have been involved in a lot of social activities this summer. There's weddings have gone on, have had graduations and other things. And you think of the list of names often you compile for different events. Maybe for a birthday, a reunion, a graduation, whatever it is, you compile these lists of names. Maybe some of you have been playing around with your genealogy and wanted to see how far back you could go in your family tree. And you may come up with a list of names. Well, if you think about it in the Bible, it doesn't take you long in the Bible to get to list of names. You only have to go to Genesis chapter 5 until you come up with a genealogy of Adam down to Noah. And then you could go on to Genesis 10. It goes on to all the grandsons of Noah. And then you go on into chapter 11. It's going to take you all the way to Abraham. You can continue on through the Old Testament, 1 Chronicles 1 through 9. You get to all the descendants from Egypt to the land of promise and all the 12 tribes. Nehemiah 7. You get many of those returning from exile that are listed from Babylon back into Jerusalem. And then even in the New Testament starts, doesn't it? In the very first chapter, the first 16 verses, is a genealogy of Jesus. Going in Matthew's account from Abraham to Jesus. And then if you go over to Luke's account, Luke's chapter 3, it's a longer one going all the way from Adam, even God, to Jesus. So you have these tremendous lists. And, you know, if you're ever having trouble falling asleep at night, you can always turn to one of these lists and it might help you as you read through. Missy and I often read the Bible as we go to work. As we ride together, and any time I get to one of these lists of names, I have to kind of wake her up occasionally so she doesn't drive off the road. But, you know, these lists, you got to wonder, why did God put these long lists of names in Holy Scripture? And if He did put them in Holy Scripture, you got to think, they've got to be as important then as some of our other verses like John 3:16. Shouldn't they? What are they there for? Why do we have these long lists of names? Well, not to try to guess what God did, but maybe look at some of the reasons why, lessons we can learn from the list of names that God does provide for us in the Bible. So tonight, we'll look at four different reasons, or potential reasons, and lessons we can learn from these lists of names. The first one is, if you think about it, He took the time to list thousands and thousands of names in the Bible. And that should tell us that God knows each one of us by name. We know that the psalmist talks about how God individually knit and created us in the womb. He knows us even before we're born. That God knows who we are before we're born. He knows what we're doing right now. He knows what you did today, and He knows what you're going to do tomorrow. He's very interested in us. He knows how hard we try at times to do the right thing. God sees that. When you're struggling to do the right thing, when you're challenged, He sees that. But He also sees that when we stumble, when we sin, when we do things we hope nobody else sees, God still sees, and God knows what we're doing. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, Hebrews 4:13, it says, "And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account." So God sees all that we do. And it says over in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. 2 Timothy 2:19. "Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are His. And let everyone who names the name of Jesus depart from iniquity." God knows who is His. He knows you and I. If we claim to be His, He knows us by name. He knows your particular name. Probably even knows your nickname. Knows your entire profile on Facebook, and probably even more about you than that. You know, we have Eugene and Orvita, who know each other, been together for almost 80 years. And they know a lot about each other, but God knows even more about Eugene and Orvita than their best friend, their spouse, does. God knows us. And even unlike Santa, He actually knows if we're naughty or if we're nice. God knows us by name. But also, if God knows us, as we see in these lists of names, another thing we can learn is that God keeps His promises. God keeps His promises to His people. Again, you can start back at the beginning of the Bible in Genesis 9, verses 9 through 13. We see right after the flood, Noah comes out with his family and he prepares a sacrifice. And God makes a promise to him. He says, "Never again will I destroy the earth with water and destroy all mankind." And He's going to put what in the sky? Puts a rainbow in the sky. And here in Kansas City in the middle of summer, you don't often get to see rainbow. You occasionally get to see rain, but you don't see too many. Missy and I saw probably about six of them in the past week. So God's promise still stands, at least from what we've seen. He still has that rainbow out there. For thousands of years, He's kept that promise. A little later in Genesis, you just go three more chapters over, we're introduced to Abram. And in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3, He gives four promises to Abram. And the fourth promise is to include that in him, all the families of the earth would be blessed. So thousands and thousands of years ago, He makes this promise to Abram. We go to the end of Genesis, several generations later, and we see that Jacob is talking to his 12 sons. And as he's talking to his sons, he blesses Judah, that a scepter would never leave the house of Judah in Genesis 49, verse 10. We continue on in the Old Testament, and we get down to 2 Samuel 7. And we see David, a descendant of Judah, is there, and God speaks to him, and He tells him in verses 12 through 16... that one special descendant, one of his seed, would sit on his throne forever. So that takes us to that list again. That list we get to in Matthew chapter 1. And as you go through Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 16, you run across Abraham. And you run across Judah. And you run across David. And finally, who do you get to? You get to Christ. And we know that Christ will rule on His throne forever. So there again, God, through the years, through His many people, these lists of people are keeping His promises. And is that true for us today? Is He still keeping His promises to us? If you would, turn over to 2 Peter. We see in 2 Peter He talks about this in 2 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. I'll start in verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in your the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. As His divine power is given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly and great precious promises, that through these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped corruption that is in the world through lust. So God's given to us, to you and I, great and precious promises. Well, what are some of those promises then that He's given? All you have to do is turn over a little farther in this letter in chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and works that are in it will be burned up. So we see He's made a promise of a judgment day, a day that He will come. He's not slack concerning it, but He's waiting, hoping that none will perish. So there is going to be a day that Jesus will come, a day that we will see Him again. Another one of these promises is found over in the book of Titus. If you were to flip over to Titus in the first chapter, Titus chapter 1, there in verse 2, as for Paul introduces himself, he says, "In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began." We have a hope of eternal life. Even though God knows us and He knows the kind of things we stumble and trip up in, He knows the kind of people we are, He still gives us that promise of a hope of eternal life. So we see that God has made promises, He's kept His promises, and is going to keep His promises to us. We also know from these lists, as you read down through these lists, sometimes you look at people in there and go, some of these people didn't turn out so good. Some of these people, they came from some pretty rough parents or descendants, but they became godly. And we see that from these lists, as we read them, that godly kids or godly children don't just happen. They take effort. Godly children require effort. Now we can see, again, as we look in the list, that God, being a godly parent doesn't always mean you're going to have godly descendants. We can look at Samuel, and we see that both of his children were not following in his footsteps, so much so that the people said, "We don't want your children to lead over us. Give us a king." And we can see the case even in David and in Solomon. Their children did not all become godly people. But the ones that did take a lot of effort, and they put a lot of effort into the ones that did. We can also see that they were ungodly parents who did not always result in an ungodly child. Some of them, through the help of others, other adults that were there to help them, became godly adults. One of the points, though, out of this is it takes effort, but also if you're a godly parent, your grace that covers you, that you've been redeemed, that you're living in, doesn't automatically descend to your kids. It's going to take effort. So we've got to learn from that. That's why we have verses like Ephesians 6, verses 4. Ephesians 6, verse 4, a verse we're very familiar with. But it tells parents, especially the fathers, "And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Similar to Proverbs 22, 6, that we're to train a child in the way he should go, and when he's old he will not depart from it. That effort to train a child, and it takes years and years, and you know, it doesn't ever stop, does it, parents? It's one of those kind of funny things. You kind of think your kids are going to leave home and it stops. You know, it doesn't, and hopefully that will never actually stop. And even with my parents, I still continue to learn. But the way my parents are, the way you are, does not pass on to your kids. So we must make that effort to make sure the next generation knows about God. Godly kids don't just happen. We also see from this list, and the fourth point, is that even though you can't automatically pass God's grace to your next generation, that the kingdom of grace does extend to all people at all times. If you go back to the list of Matthew chapter 1, and if you would flip to that list, Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 16, just take a minute to look at that list. It's one of the unique lists in that it not only lists men, as many of these lists often do, it lists men and women. There's five women mentioned either by name or referenced in that list. And it's not always who you think it's going to be either. You might think Sarah would be there, Abraham and Sarah. You might think in Luke's account he would have Adam and Eve, but he doesn't. Some of the names that show up are Tamar, Ruth, Rahab, and Bathsheba. Two of those four women are Gentiles. Two played the harlot, or were harlots. One was an adulteress. But somehow God, in His grace, was able to bring them, to redeem them, to help them become the righteous women they were, to become part of the lineage of Jesus. God, in His grace, can work through anyone and bring them into His kingdom through His love, His grace, His mercy, His redemption. And that's the same way we should look at not only those that are in our lineage. How could we help those that are alive today in our families, as well as those that are around us? If God can bring these women in and these people in to be part of the lineage of Christ, who else can He not bring into His family? In 2 Peter 3, 9 and 10 that we just read, we see that God is patient, not wanting anyone to perish. That should also be our attitude too. Sometimes it just requires patience and working with others. And we should have the attitude of not being like God, not wanting anyone to perish as well. In 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11, Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Notice that phrase, and such were some of you. He makes a list of a lot of people and a lot of sins that we are not comfortable with. But you know what? We too all struggle with sin. We've all had sin in our life. But how did He say the problem was solved? We were washed. We were sanctified. We were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. We too can be part of the lineage of Jesus Christ. We too can be part of the family of God through that and help that grace extend to those around us. So those are four lessons we can learn from these great lists that are in the Bible. So next time you get to one of these lists and think, oh no, here we go. And you got to practice your Hebrew tongue. Try to get through them. You know, think about why did God take the time to put these lists in here? And even better yet, how can I make sure I could be maybe on one of these lists? There is a list we all want to be part of. In Revelation 3, in six times in the book of Revelation, it talks about this. But in Revelation 3, verse 5, Jesus speaking to the church there says, He who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out His name from the book of life, but will acknowledge His name before My Father and His angels. And as you get to the end of the book, it comes up again. In chapter 21, verse 27, it says there again, nothing impure will ever enter it, that is heaven. Nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Is your name written in the Lamb's book of life? Has your name been added to that list? One day when the book is opened and a finger starts going down, is it going to stop at your name? Is God going to know your name? Will He be able to keep His promise to you because you've met the promise to Him? Will your kids be on that list because you put the effort into them being on that list? And we get to see others' names on that list in the book of life because you helped extend the grace and love of God to them so that they could know about God's plan of redemption and love for them and His great patience for all. Those are just some thoughts. This evening, if you have not, are not sure if your name's on that book of life, if you haven't accepted the grace, God's come halfway to you. He's wanted to open up a relationship to you for a long time. If you have not come and started that relationship with Him, been buried in that baptism to put on His Son and be in His family, then come talk to us. Come let somebody know that. Come start that relationship and have your name on that list, on God's list. And if you need help in any other way, please stand as we stand and sing this invitation song.